Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I'll be joined by my partner, Seth Haphagger, in a little bit. Seth will be joining us. Right now, we're going to kick off the hour talking with our friend, Larry Knutson from the Historic Point Boss. We're going to talk about the Sugar Bush event coming up March 16th, right around the corner. Larry, how have you been?
Very good. Getting through this harsh winter we've had.
Yes, yeah, it's been interesting. It's been a difficult one already. Yeah. Larry, one of the signature and favorite events at the Historic Point Boss is the Sugar Bush event. Let's tell people about it.
Okay, yeah, the Sugar Bush is, we represent the era, the Wakely era in the 1800s, 1840 to 1860, and then we how they cooked maple syrup back then, and we talk about how you make maple sugar and things like that. One of the big highlights, of course, in the house, we have the ladies in the house that are making some dollar size, they call it dollar pancakes, mm-hmm. with some good maple syrup over them. Always something nice to eat, you know.
Did you come in to just make me hungry today, Larry?
Absolutely, yeah. Just,
you're doing your job. Yeah. You're doing your job. It sounds so good. One of the things we appreciate about the Historic Point Boss, keeping history alive and sharing some things of, and of how we did stuff and how it applies to modern times and so much of this. With creating makeable syrup, this is something that we really kind of do the way we always have. And it's such a fun thing to be able to experience over there.
The process really hasn't changed for millennia. I mean, you know, you'd gather the sap and things like that. But the way they used to process it, you know, is a little bit different because they didn't have all the propane and things like that to heat it. So you had to, you know, gather a lot of wood to cook it. But it was quite a process. But my father-in-law was a very big maple syrup cooker. And what he always said, and I agree totally, it's considered one of the first crops of the year. So it's kind of a kickoff for the year on a maple syrup. And this year is quite a kickoff because of course, with the weather, it started so early, but the sap has really been running this year.
So, like a lot of people out there, I imagine, I am a humongous maple syrup fan. I like maple flavored things. I like maple, you know, all that. I've always thought, well, that seems like something I would love to do. I'd love to be able to make my own maple syrup. But like a lot of people, that's about the end of my knowledge. We've covered everything I know about making maple syrup. That's why an event like this is fun to attend. You learn those things. But it's also interesting with a year like this. I don't know if a lot of us would know that, like how this kind of season that we've had, this winter we've had, would affect our maple syrup.
Right. Well, basically, when the maple sap is running, it has to be above freezing during the day, and then it has to be below freezing at night. So in the morning when the sun comes up, and especially if the sun hits a tree or something, it draws that sap up from the roots, and that's when that's when you're getting your syrup.
Cool.
So if you just watch the weather, you can tell when it's going to run. Above freezing at day and at night.
Larry, that is awesome. I didn't know that, man. That is very cool. Thank you for sharing that. That is really interesting. And it makes sense to what we're experiencing now with the maple crop that we've got. With the early crop, it sounds like.
Right, and my understanding, others that have been cooking it, it's good sweet sap. There's a variation in sap every year, too. And, of course, I think, I'm not sure on this, but I believe that the drier the year, you know, the more sap, the sweeter the sap is, I guess, if you will. Which requires less cooking.
Yeah. Larry, people are going to be able to experience and learn about the historic making of maple syrup and experience from experienced cookers. You mentioned the pancakes are going to be there. Are there other things people are going to be able to enjoy about this event?
Yeah, well, I will be in the bunkhouse, and I don't really talk about maple syrup a lot, but my persona out there is a hunter, a bird hunter, and if you want to know about hunting passenger pigeons back in that era, because springtime of the year is, of course, when the passenger pigeons would be coming to roost in Wisconsin, too, so I talk a lot about hunting passenger pigeons. And I've delved into, this year, a lot more research on the lumber industry and rafting lumber down the rapids from the lumber mills up north and stuff.
Those are always interesting stories.
Well, I realized something, and it just almost shocked me, I guess, if you will. During the height of the season, which is in the spring floods, when they're rafting down the lumber and stuff, at Point Boss, you go down there now, it looks kind of like a sleepy little community, you know, it would have been and stuff. Actually, there was times when there was probably over 1,000 people per day going through Point Boss.
Whoa.
Between the loggers that were returning from the lumber logging camps and the rafters that were bringing lumber down, they would tie up at Point Boss. So I talk a lot about that, too, for those that are interested. I tend to talk too much sometimes.
Oh, I don't know about that. Larry, I don't know if you can talk enough for me. Yeah. I'm enjoying every word. I appreciate it. And we love that you guys keep history alive. We love that you share these stories. It not only brings pride in our area, gives pride in what we do, but the future, and really incorporating that and keeping that history alive.
Right. And we are what we call a living history museum. Mm-hmm. So the items we have, we use the stoves, we use the logging equipment, we use the, you know, everything down there. So it's a hands-on thing. If you come down, you can do some woodworking if you feel like it. You can do whatever we have and actually get hands-on.
Larry, is there anything else you wanted to touch on before we let you get back to things?
One thing I definitely would like to talk about is we have a campfire cooking class.
Yeah.
And that's coming up in April 27th.
Yeah.
It's a full-day event. We request that people sign up ahead of time. If you go to our site and you can click on, there's a big green button. It's a membership button, but actually that's where you would register to attend our campfire cooking class, too.
Excellent.
It's one of my favorite events because you typically get to eat almost all day long.
Yeah, that is a really nice part of the event, yeah. And Larry's not kidding. That button is really simple. I just did it while he was talking. It's very easy to go to. Go to historicpointboss.com, historicpointboss.com, and you'll find the site. Be sure to bookmark that webpage. It's a great way to keep up to date on everything they're doing over there. And so many great events all year long over at the Historic Point Boss. It's good to find out about them and know when they're coming.
Yeah.
Want to remind everybody that the Sugar Bush event is coming up this Saturday, March 16th, at the Historic Point Boss. The cost is for adults $3, students $1, preschoolers and members are getting in for free. Those prices are so low because the Historic Point Boss believes in keeping history alive and you know, being good for the community. And we want to support that, appreciate that. So be sure to show up and give them a great crowd for the Sugar Bush event coming up again, March 16th at the Historic Point Boss. Larry, always good to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the time and knowledge, man. I'm not going to forget that. That was really interesting. Thank you. We'll come back with Morning Show here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
You'll say we've got nothing in common, no common ground to start from, and we're falling.
I could not tell you the last time I heard this song, but I remembered how long I had to talk before he jumped in.
Yeah, that's right. It's that's weird. Hilarious.
It's so funny how that happens.
That song stuck in my head for
Deep Blue
decades.
Something?
Deep Blue Something.
Oh, my God.
The name of the band. You were very good.
Man, this is why I run a 90s show. So
exactly. It's all there. You just didn't know it.
I appreciate the bumpers, man. And a big appreciation to Larry Knutson for joining us from the Historic Point Boss. That was fantastic.
Yeah,
love talking to our friends over there. A big shout-out to Mike and the gang at the Historic Point Boss. Mm-hmm. We appreciate them so dang much. Find out more by going to historicpointboss.com. And be sure to click their membership button. Not only sign up for their newsletter and that kind of thing, but learn about that campfire cooking class coming up on Saturday, April 27th. That is a great fun time. That is really going to be awesome.
Sounds really cool,
event.
Yeah.
It's a really fun event. Help them keep history alive over there at the Storm Point Boss. Be sure to take in the Sugar Bush event coming up this weekend, March 16th, and all the other great things that they're doing over there.
Man, they have such great programming throughout the entire year. So much fun.
We're going to wrap up this segment talking a little bit about local things, but before we do that, we got to get to this. The sequel to This Is Spinal Tap has officially begun filming in New Orleans.
Oh, no.
And a bunch of celebrity cameos have been announced. That's why I didn't get a part. I'm just going to stand on that. That's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to tell people. I just a moment to drop some names and everything, but had a wonderful, one of my favorite auditions I'll ever do for this particular movie.
You and did?
Wow. It was about 2 months ago.
Okay.
Got to audition for Mr. Reiner. He didn't make eye contact with me, but that was because there was, I don't know if he understood the way that the Zoom was set up. I'm not trying to be mean.
He is an older fella.
He himself said he did not know if he understood how it was set up. And there was three other actors in the audition, and I can't see them. They can't see me or anything like that. So he's just talking to us individually.
But
when he would do that, he would talk to all of us. And so he was sharing things with one actor while also sharing. It was funny.
Oh, that's funny.
But he could not have been a nicer guy. Could not have been nicer and friendlier. And he was so excited about this project. He spent, if you go into a normal audition, you go in, you talk to the casting people, you make nices for about 5-10 seconds, and then you get to work because they got 1,000 other people to talk to.
Right.
This man spent a good 5 minutes just telling us about how excited he was about the script and everything before we even got into the audition.
Wow. That's for like a regular audition too. That's fascinating.
We're talking about a part that had like 5 to 10 lines.
Yeah,
like
right.
Not anything that big or anything like that. But and that's another note too, that this is one of the most legendary directors in the game, and he's been around a long time doing this and everything. And he's in the audition processes for like small characters like that and everything.
That's really interesting. Yeah,
that's old school, and that shows how much he cares about the work.
He didn't have to do that. He just set a casting director to do it, but he was there.
I understand there's going to be a lot of talk and a lot of cameos about this, and most people are probably going to throw this and just chalk it up to a cash grab or whatever. As far as I could see from this guy, this is a passion project. This is something that they wanted to do, that they found the opportunity for. And for every movie and remake or sequel that comes out like 50 years later that is a cash grab, there is projects like this where, hey, we always wanted to do a sequel. Now we can.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, look, we can do that now. People are overdosing on nostalgia. Let's go ahead and give them some more. It works for some stuff.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. And to your point, man, it's hard to get a movie made. It is extremely hard to get a movie made. And so it cannot be one of those things where like, hey, we're all going to make a ton of money, okay? Yeah, Spinal Tap is a famous movie, but it's still like a cult classic.
Yeah.
It's not like it made millions of dollars.
Yeah,
it didn't.
Yeah.
You know, but there's probably going to be more people that watch it now because of they've seen it since then. But still, this is not a blockbuster.
It's
more of a passion project.
This has got a lot of cameos on it. Questlove, Trisha Yearwood, Garth Brooks, Paul McCartney, Sir Elton John, and that's just a couple of the bigger names. There's even more on there.
I love the musicians angle. That's great.
Yeah, all the original cast members are back.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all of them coming back, and the movie sees the guys getting back together reluctantly for one more contractually obligated concert after years of separation and bad blood.
I like that premise because we've seen this happen.
So it's a biopic.
It is.
Of basically every band ever. That's awesome. Awesome. And look, to me too, with this stuff, this is one thing where they get me on, and I wholeheartedly admit, hook, line, and sinker. I don't care if it's good. I'm being completely honest. I love the idea of seeing a sequel to this.
Yeah.
I love that. It's not my money. Mm-hmm. It's not my reputation. So
true.
I watch these things, and I just love seeing these actors again, seeing Michael McKean again, or Harry Shearer, or anything like that. Like
Christopher Guest. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Christopher Guest acting. Like we haven't got.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Like just that alone, sign me up. I'm good with it. You know, it doesn't. Not every for every Oppenheimer, there can be a Spinal Tap 2.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of the point, I think, a lot of the people during the speeches, during the Oscars, if you were reading between the lines, if you were paying attention, hey, Hollywood, and it's not, we say Hollywood, and we just chalk that up as a mess. In this day and age, Hollywood creates less movies than anybody. There's so many movie companies nowadays.
Yeah.
There's so many movies are made, they aren't just made in California anymore. They're made all over the world.
Yeah. It's a shorthand. Hollywood is shorthand for the movie business, yeah.
But to the movie business,
yep.
You know, maybe less three-hour opuses that cost $500 million or whatever, and maybe make, 20 movies that cost $5 million or something like that. It's a lot cheaper, and it's a lot return on the investment.
You'd think, but yeah, anyway.
We'll see.
So the one thing I do hope for this, though, is that, like, the whole nostalgia thing, it's a fine line to walk, though, before you just, it's just a repeat of the first movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds like hopefully they will not do this with that. You know, all the funny bits, just redo them. No, why? You don't need to do that again. Okay, you've done it once. Do something different. Make it interesting and, of course, funny. But, yeah, let's try something a little different here.
I wanted to make sure to touch on a couple of things because with our interview a little bit later with Kate, Katie Medina is going to join us, yep. Wisconsin Rapids School Board candidate. That'll take us probably to the top of the hour, mm-hmm. where we usually do our good stories of the day.
Right.
I did want to take a moment to talk about some local events in our area entertainment-wise, and one of the biggest ones that we want to highlight, we've been talking about a bit around here, is Women's United signature annual fundraiser event, Power of the Purse.
Yeah.
It's a fun way to get together a community, get together and everything, have some fun, raise some attention and some awareness. The funds raised for Power of the Purse support early reading literacy programs like Dolly Parton's Imagination Library program, mm-hmm. and so much great work. This is taking place tonight, 5 to 7:30 at Bullseye Golf Club at 2800 Ridgewood Trail, Wisconsin Rapids. You can't have a glass of water and not have a good time out there.
Good stuff.
Love our friends over at Bullseye. Mm-hmm. Love that they host these kind of events. There's going to be a cash bar, and as Terry will tell you, that's really a spaghetti bar. That's really good. hors d'oeuvres, networking, purse, silent auction, raffles, bingo. There's so much going on here. And while you're enjoying yourself and you're having fun and you're laughing with people you haven't seen in a while and all these things are going on in the back of your mind or in the front of your heart, you can know, hey, I'm also doing a lot for my community. I'm also putting back into my community. There are a few organizations, few nonprofits that do more than the United Way does. Mm-hmm. They do so much for us. This is our way of showing that we have their back too. And you might get a good purse. You might get a really nice. Oh, hey. You might. If you win the bidding, they're all great purses.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I will wholeheartedly admit my knowledge of purses comes from Terry and my mom. But from what they tell me, these are really, 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 really good
I'm
purses.
I'm sure they are.
Check out
so many purses.
So many.
Yeah. So many purses.
Find out more at uwswac.org. Be sure to follow the United Way on social media. And meet them at Power of the Purse tonight at Bullseye Golf Club, 5 to 7:30. Enjoy and have a great time, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody that takes place in that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to make sure to mention that Heroes Cafe is back tomorrow.
Yay!
And they're at Crossview Church now.
They're back to their old digs, yeah. Yeah.
Go check it out. It's at 7:30. It's the second and fourth Wednesday every month. Mm-hmm. And again, a big shout out to Crossview Church for hosting this, yep. and to all the volunteers and all the great people that helped make the Heroes Cafe successful and well-attended and everything.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. Heroes Cafe goes on second and fourth Wednesday of the month, 7:30 to 9:30. Again, over at Crossview Church, all veterans, military, police, and firefighters are welcome for refreshments provided at no cost. And a big thank you to everybody that helps make that happen.
Indeed.
Also wanted to talk a little theater, because I have to.
Theater.
Yeah, I mean, that theater. Y'all go down to theater. They got the auditions. I tell you what, they are mighty fine auditions, too.
Oh, boy.
Any chance to do a Southern, like a real... Like
yeah, real hillbilly kind of thing. Yeah.
You know what? I did a bit the other day where I was challenging our students with accents. And I was going, you know, one of the things that I've really prided myself on is being able to jump from one accent to another.
Right.
I've had a lot of characters that have to mm-hmm. do that. You go from a Cockney accent.
Yeah.
You go to warm them bound down Cajun accents right there. And then you go round bound. You're going to smoothly transition to that.
Well, they're actually more similar than I thought. Wow.
They're actually a lot more similar than you might realize. So you just get you drop your R's a little bit more than that. It's fun. It's fun to be able to do, man. And you can do things like that tonight at Auditions for Rumors.
Yes.
It's the final night of auditions. Mm-hmm. We put this challenge out there yesterday. I shouldn't say we. I did. I don't know if you want to be a part
well,
of this.
Well, I'm with you. I'm with you on there. Yeah.
We are challenging.
I sign on.
You know, we certainly, obviously, you want everybody, all comers, to come and audition mm-hmm. tonight for Rumors at 6:30 at the Wisconsin Rabbits Auditorium. But we put a special challenge out to the men out there.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity for you to not only show the women in your life or women out there in general mm-hmm. What you got. And there isn't a woman alive that doesn't like seeing a man on stage. I'll tell you that right now. Trust me.
That's right.
The majority of my dating life, let's be honest here. But more importantly than any of that, if you are looking for some, you are looking to get that sport out of your system. You don't get to play sports as much as you used to or anything like that. This is a sport. All the things you do in sports, you apply to acting. You mm-hmm. can apply to this. It's fun. It's mm-hmm. exciting. It's something new. And especially if you've never done it before, this is such a great play to be a part of.
I want to let people know, too, staying with the sports, theme here, It's a workout.
Yeah, yeah. It's
a, you're on stage, you're running around, man. You are getting some good cardio in, man. Especially a show like this where there's a, kind of a lot of running around. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good way to get some exercise.
Seth, when's the last time you've done a show with somebody and you saw them gain weight?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen.
That rarely happens.
Very rarely
now,
happens.
I do have to say, here at WRCT, we usually have a lot of food backstage.
Yeah, that's true.
But you're still doing a lot of work in there. So.
And it's so much fun, and you could not ask for a better company and better people to work with that are more supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Any fears or any hesitancy you have, it will be taken care of.
It will be.
They will take care of it. You got a great director in Christine Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And it is a Neil Simon play. You can't go wrong.
Always fun to do Neil Simon.
You're going to have fun. You're going to enjoy yourself. And there is not a lot to auditions. If you're a little curious about that, you've never auditioned before, there's a great Learn More About Auditions button at the WRCT website. Be sure to check that out and find out more at WRCtheater.org. WRCtheater.org. We'll see you down there tonight. I'll be down there. I got an hour. I couldn't get somebody to cover my class, so I was talking to the other teacher, and I'm like, look, we take our break about 7:30 usually, let the smokers go out and have their say,
yeah,
whatever,
right,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll be there by 7:30, all right, if that's okay. And like, fine, but, you know, and she was, her and I don't work together very often. She's older, and she was a little bit of a, she herself will say is a bit of a stick in the mud for, you know, these things.
Right.
Was giving me kind of a hard time, and then I told her it was for an audition, completely changed her back. Completely. You go right ahead. You show up. You take your time. You show up late if you. I was like, oh wow, that's an actor. She. I don't know her that well, but I guarantee she's an actor.
She knows.
Yeah.
She knows.
She gets it. And you guys get it. You get the 90s. We appreciate that. We wrap up the segment. I want to remind you about Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. It airs after Seth Faces the Music from 8 to 9 on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Seth, do you have a theme this week for Seth Faces the Music?
I do. I got to think really quick here because I can't remember. I was just working on it yesterday. Okay. I know. Just I got to process.
Yeah, with all the production and everything that you work on, I would have been a little surprised if you didn't
have it.
Oh.
The Sky. Or skies.
Nice. Oh, I like
songs
that.
About the sky or
I
skies.
Like
yeah.
That's very cool.
It's a new one this week. I actually put together a list. At the beginning of the year, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do this week by week thing anymore. I'm going to make a list of all the things. Because, you know, I'm getting to the point now where I've done 70 some shows. Maybe I'm up to 80 now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, gosh, I got to start figuring out what themes I need. And I came up with like 30. In like 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So it's like no, I got plenty. I got plenty of themes I can still work with here. So
we're very happy to hear that because that's one of our more popular shows that we have. We have so many people that love that show. Looking forward to another Seth Faces the Music this Sunday from 6 to 8. Be sure to catch it, everybody, and spread the word about that show. While we are giving Director's Cut a bit of a breather, we build a guest list and some of those things, we wanted to still give you guys some original content. I've had a show I've been working on for a while, and Seth gave me the right push, and here we are with his help from production with Unlabeled. We got our first episode dropped this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing this as a pilot episode, kind of seeing,
hey, try it out, yeah, right.
You know, see if you guys like it and everything. Yeah, turns out you do. as I was bombarded by requests before the show even aired.
That's
like,
word got out.
We also were with the hockey this weekend and everything. Weren't sure if the show and people were able to catch it or not. So what we're going to do is replay that episode this Sunday, just to give you guys another opportunity to be able to catch it.
Yep.
And then the following week we'll have a brand new episode. And in that episode, I've already got 5 requests.
That's awesome.
Out of like 12 songs I get to play, they've already got
that. Oh, that is so cool.
And I want more. I want more and more and more. What we're going to do with this show is not only have a great time going down, taking a trip down memory lane, and listen down memory lane, if you will, but I want your requests. If it was released from 1990 to 1999, I will play it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and get your request to me, james.mailf@civicmedia.us. We will have a contest coming up eventually where we are going to welcome in a guest.
Oh.
You can win guest spotting on the show with me and picking the playlist.
Oh, man.
Things like that.
Exciting. Darn it, I can't
Yeah.
I can't apply for that.
That's okay.
Right. I'll just make my request.
I will make you do the show with me at some point, just like I want to do Seth Face the Music with you.
We'll get you. We'll get you.
But we also want to have other civic media guests on. We got a great library and a great stable of talent in this,
yes.
this company. Want to bring them on. Want to do certain like special shows, like Class of 93, where we just play music from 1993, that kind of stuff.
That's awesome.
We got so many ideas and so many different fun things we can do with this show. And we want to hear your ideas and your feedback. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know how you feel about it. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages or just hit me straight up, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us.
You know, it reminded me when I made a request to James as well because I just realized how many – there was those weird only 90s songs, and it reminded me of one that I was like, oh, my gosh. I don't think I've heard this since 1999. I have to request James do this one. So,
I can't wait to play it, too. It's a good one. It's a good one. We will get to our state and local news. We'll come back, and we'll have a little bit of fun. Got some good stuff to get into about teens on their phones and how many people feel like they that's not the one. Well, that's it. Good stories of the day. And then I want to get to that as well.
Okay.
And of course, keep in mind, Kate Medina, Wisconsin Rabbit School Board candidate, is going to be joining us at 9:50 this morning right here at WFHR.
I've only one burning desire. Let me stand next to your fire. Let me stand next to your fire.
I wanted that bumper so bad right there. And I took a chance, and I really wish I had. I'd like to apologize to the estate of Jimi Hendrix. As a fellow Jimmy, I apologize. I had to. I mean,
True.
Every weather forecast, he's saying the fire thing.
And my show last week was the fire show that I'd done, too. So it's like, right. Oh, man, I could have thrown one of them on there.
I do appreciate the update and the forecast. and be smart out there, everybody. No Please. Fires today, no. Everyone knows that kids today, at least everybody says that kids today spend too much time in their phones and their tablets and everything. Well, that includes kids. Kids are saying that, too. According to a new report by the Pew Research Center, 38% of teenagers acknowledge that they spend, too much time on their phones, and 27% admit that they spend too much time on social media.
Mm.
Teen girls are more likely to admit they're spending too much time on those things than teen boys.
Okay.
39% of teens say that they've cut back on social media, although they didn't ask how many of those cuts have stuck. That said, more than half say they spend about the right amount of time on phones and social media, and more than 60% haven't cut back on them.
Okay.
A whopping 95% of American teens say that they have access to a smartphone, and in a separate study, about 33% of teens say that at least one of five major social media platforms they're on, YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Almost consistently, YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, and Facebook were the top apps for teenagers.
Right.
Like the masses, like statistics show us, like teenagers are telling us, I worry about any, kids being in tablets too much or their phones too much or anything. One of my bigger concerns is imagination and not, not relying and needing that as much and not. Your imagination is no different than a muscle in your body. You got to work it out. And the more you work it out, the better it's going to be the older you get. And there's virtually nothing you do in life that you're not going to need your imagination for.
Right.
We undercut that all the time. And I don't like that. I think that we need to embrace our imaginations more.
Right.
And that's important. All that being said, I am not worried about teenagers.
Not really.
I'm not. They're growing up with this stuff, and they're understanding how to balance it much better.
Yeah.
It's our generation I worry about. When I'm driving around and I see teenagers in cars, I've never seen a teenager looking in their phone. I, in the last week, have seen at least five or six people in our age group looking at their phone when they're driving around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling out Gen X. I'm calling out us in our generation with this stuff. I don't think we know how to balance these things, and we're putting that on teenagers. We're putting it on younger people.
Isn't that the way, though, usually? It's some of the stuff that we dislike about our own generation, that we like, oh, those kids today and their stuff, because they grew up with it?
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
This is something that we need to have said more often. Just because you're thinking something doesn't make it real and doesn't mean everybody else thinks that way.
Oh, 100%, man. It's 100%.
This projecting that goes on with a lot of things in society and a lot of things in life, it gets a little old to me, and it misses the point. Like, if we really care about this stuff, there's ways to attack it. There's ways to make it better. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen by whining and complaining and pointing the finger or any of that. What in human history has ever gotten done with that? With just sitting there and whining and picking on things? Like, what gets done there? Nothing's corrected. Nothing's fixed. You may feel a little bit better for a half a second or two because you got to vent and complain.
Right.
But that's about it. Like, I think that if you really want this to change, like everything in life, if your kids are acting up, how are you acting? How
that's
are
a great
you
point.
Acting? Well, if you don't like business, if you don't like a business and the way it's going, who's the CEO? If you don't like the way the country's running, look at who your senators and congressmen are and those things. Like, everything starts at the top.
Yeah.
And it's no different than parenting, and it's no different than social cues and all that.
Two things. One, you can, if you are concerned about it and you have a teenager or whatever, it's within your power to limit as much as you can. That's up to you, okay, and your family. Second, how are you, like you were saying, how are you modeling the way you use social media or you use devices or that sort of thing? That probably has a bigger impact than anything you might say. Just keep that in mind, everybody. Kids aren't dumb.
Yeah.
They see this stuff and then they emulate it.
So often, who's the sports team your kid enjoys? The one you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because they grew up seeing you root for that team.
Right.
They grew up knowing that you love that team.
I failed awfully in that. Yeah, you know that? None of my kids like any of my teams. But anyway.
I hear you so much on this. Yeah, I hear you. But when it comes to that,
usually.
The kid ends up liking the team that you liked and everything because they learned from you. This is no different than that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's important to understand that
stuff. I did it from watching you. Speaking of the 90s.
Right? Yeah, nicely done. Nicely. That's another thing. Oh, so glad you said that. I forgot. I thought that one of the fun things might be able to do coming in and out of breaks, we're playing like 90s commercials.
Oh, dude. I am on board, man.
Oh, I think that'd be
totally.
Fun. I don't know how much we can get away with copyright wise, but I think that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, we could do it.
Where's the beef? No, that was 80s.
That was the 80s.
Yeah, that was the 80s.
We could find Surge!
Oh,
there
you go. Yes, there we go. Yeah. Everything was explanation points in the 90s. Nothing was said like hushed.
With a period, right? Yeah.
So we got to get a Danny Wright story in. When you're considering ordering soup at a restaurant, you probably aren't worried about the price because, well, it's soup. But that isn't always the case.
Mm-mm.
Now, a lot of our Danny Wright stories take place in Florida or in other parts of the country. It is only fair of me to include one in my old stomping grounds in Chicago.
Okay.
And that's where we go for this one. A restaurant in Chicago is selling a soup for $1,893. And nobody in the city can eat it. It's being served for a limited time at the Colonial Room within a hotel called the Drake. It's near Oak Brook. It's kind of near the theater district.
Okay.
Actually, Second City's not too far from there.
Right. It's the downtown area, yeah.
God, if I had to pick my favorite part of the city, it's in top three right there. I love that area.
How do I allow them to talk about Chicago?
I'll stop. They have a signature dish called a bookbinder soup, which is $10. And this is a luxurious upgrade, which is made with super rare Louis VIII cognac instead of regular dry sherry. You also get a little sniffer of the spirit. It also features Ozetta caviar and a red snapper from the Gulf of Mexico, which is flown in fresh every order.
Mm-hmm.
You need to order it in 2 weeks. You need to order 2 weeks in advance to be able to eat this.
To make sure it's fresh, right? The snapper.
Man,
right?
I don't know what I want for lunch later. Like, let alone in 2 weeks, I know I'm going to want this.
I'm going to want this soup, yes.
It's also garnished with gold flakes.
I'm sorry for interrupting you. That I hate that. Putting that in food, that is so stupid.
It is. The specific $1,893 price comes from the date the original recipe for the soup, which was created by Samuel Bookbinder in 1893 in Philadelphia.
Cool name, by the way.
It is a cool name.
But Bookbinder's having a really cool name. But, I get, having something like, the really fresh snapper. Oh, yeah, that's good. Caviar and all this, this great food in there. But just to jack up the price, we put gold flakes. Man?
Yeah. I do kind of wonder a little bit about what it might be like to be the like. being able to fly seems like one of the cooler like skills to have. Mm. And you take the time. It's not an easy thing. You take the time. You learn to fly. And like, right. Man, I learned to fly. I'm going to take this skill to the moon. I'm going to be able to do so many things. And what's your job? Just flying fish back and forth from Chicago to like out west. Like,
the Gulf Coast to Chicago. That's all you're doing.
That's all you're doing.
That's all you're doing.
You and a bunch of fish flying like every day. That's it.
It's not as glamorous as I thought it was going to be.
I can't imagine how great it smells in there.
Nothing but fish, man. Yikes.
Seems like, man, I really saw this going a different direction. I really, really felt like this. I don't
he
know.
Doesn't even get to taste the soup.
No, can't afford it.
No.
Who can afford this?
I'm telling you.
That's the other thing about this, too. Something like this, even if you, like, I don't know how you got $2,000 to just throw around.
Right.
But even if you do have $2,000 to throw around, what's the win in this? Like, how... To me, and I wholeheartedly admit I'm really bad about this, but mm-hmm. I think most people want to get their money's worth.
Right.
How can you possibly get your money's worth out of that?
For one bowl of soup.
I got a big question, though. And I'm actually a borderline serious on this.
Okay.
All right. So you and Beth, I pay for it. You guys are going to the Colonial Room. You're getting these soups. You guys are going to sit there and eat them together and everything. And it's going to be a really nice dinner. You get to the end in the bottom of the pool, and there's not much soup left. We all, our whole lives, pick the bowl up and drink it. Can you do that with that soup within that area?
Oh, I would.
I would love to. I want the slurping and everything.
Oh, yeah. Make a really loud scene. Yeah. I want everyone, if I was going to do that, I want everyone to know I'm eating this ridiculously expensive soup really loudly. I mean, the whole thing. Yeah, you better believe it,
man. That's so good, brother. I've always thought that it's hilarious to see people take pictures of their food and share it. I'm like, what are they doing? Big deal. It's cheesecake. I've seen cheesecake before. With this, everybody in the world would know eating this. You're
exactly.
Absolutely right. I'm taking pictures with me and the soup, me and the chef.
Get the chef come out. Yeah, exactly.
I think everybody's know what I paid for this. Yes, you're so right about that. We a great show today, brother. Great show.
Yeah, it was fun.
We're going to take a quick time out. We will come back. And part of our candidate series, Kate Medina is going to join us, Wisconsin Rapids School Board candidate. We're going to talk to Kate about 10 minutes, get to know her a little bit, and ask her the same questions we ask all of our school board candidates. We're looking forward to that. That's coming up in just a few. That could take us to the top of the hour, which mm-hmm. may end the show, just to let you know. If not, we got a minute or two to spare. I'll come in and we'll do some good stories of the day.
Sounds good.
Coming up on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to Mornings here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Have your host, James J. Mailoff. And right now, we're going to continue our candidate series, where we're going to speak with local candidates running for office. We are enjoying the time with our candidates and really appreciate everybody that got back to us and was able to be on the air with us. I do want to remind everybody that you can find out if you are registered to vote and more information, everything you need to know at myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. As we continue our series, we're welcoming in right now to the studio, Katie Medina. She is a candidate for the Wisconsin Rapids School Board. Katie, thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Katie, just a couple of quick questions for you. And the first one I have is one I'm asking of all of our candidates. And as we continue on here, we continue to one of the things we believe here at WFHR, and I think our community does, is public service and encouraging more and more of our community to be a part of things, school boards and business boards and running for office and things like that. So I bring that up because we're wondering, how has this experience been for you?
You mean the campaign itself?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Now, well, so the campaign has been, I'm going to say, a little bit uneventful for me so far. I've been a member of the school board for 16 years. Mm-hmm. So I do have a lot of passion for education. I have a lot of passion for our students. And I believe things are going very well right now. When I ran, 16 years ago,
that was
a different story.
Yeah,
that's why I ran. I felt that things were not going in a good direction, and I was very concerned about the way things were heading in our schools. And so I did have a burning passion, something that I felt was very important. But today, I feel things are going well. And the reason I'm running is just to continue that service to the community. If people reelect me, I'm willing to continue that service.
What do you see as the board's roles and responsibilities?
Well, the responsibility and our role is to just oversee what's going on in our district and to make sure that things are running smoothly. We have some great administrators, and we trust them. We've hired good people to do the things that we expect them to do. The board is not there to micromanage anything. We're there to oversee and to approve and to ask questions. But on a day-to-day basis, we've got a great number of administrators who are doing their jobs, and makes our job a lot easier.
What are your goals if you continue on the school board?
Well, first and foremost, we're going to have to hire a new superintendent. Our superintendent is leaving, and I find that to be a very sad thing. I think he's done wonderful things for our schools. We have other positions that need to be filled. That's a challenge for us, not just the administrative positions, but the teaching positions. That's become more and more difficult over the past few years. Fewer people are going into teaching. People are leaving teaching. I think that for some sad reason, teachers have become less respected over the years. And I can't put my finger on why that is. I think a lot of that had to do with Act 10. But I have the utmost respect for our teachers and staff in our buildings who are working with our students day in and day out. And when we see fewer applicants for each position, I think that's sad. It used to be, you know, lots of little kids would grow up thinking, I want to be a teacher when I grow up. And we just don't see that anymore. I think that's sad.
How do you plan to include parents, teachers, the community in decision-making when that comes with the board decision-making?
Well, as far as our superintendent search, we are going to have community forums where we ask people to come in and, you know, give us their opinion on what they think is important and what we're looking for. We, as board members, our meetings are sometimes we do have closed sessions, but our general meetings are open session. Anybody is able to come in and talk during our meetings. We have a public session where the people can get up and speak about any of the issues that we have on our agenda. And so I encourage people to do that if they have a concern, if they have something that they'd like us to consider. If you can't be at a meeting, you can still watch our meetings. We have the meetings online. You can email, you can call, you can, you know, get in contact with us if there's a concern. We like to hear from the community.
Mm-hmm. What distinguishes you from other candidates?
I think my experience. So 16 years on the board. I'm currently the chairperson of the Educational Services Committee, and I'm on the Business Services Committee. I'm a member of the Council for Instructional Improvement. I am one of the people who is on the selection committee for the Alumni Wall of Fame at Lincoln High School. I have a lot of experience. I've been doing it for a long time, and I just know how things work, and I think that's an advantage.
Mm-hmm. Katie, why should voters cast their ballot for you? And final thoughts.
I believe that I do have the experience. I have passion. I have passion for education. I work with young children all the time. I see what we can do with them, and I see the potential. And I'm just very passionate about our teachers, passionate about our schools. And I think that as a lifelong resident of Wisconsin Rapids, I have a lot to offer.
Katie, we agree, as I started this interview, we really appreciate those of you that are out there in public service and doing so much for our community. Thank you for that, and thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We will take a time out, a real quick one, and we'll come back and wrap up the show. This is Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're just going to take you to the top of the hour, a couple minutes left. Want to wrap up, letting you know our schedule, some good stories of the day. We got another morning show lined up for you tomorrow. Be sure to join us. It's going to be a fun one. Beth will be sitting in with us for the next couple of days, and we'll wrap up the week with Katrina Hintner hanging out with us on Friday during the morning show. It's going to be a lot of fun. I want to thank our guests today. Big thank you to Larry Knutson from the Historic Point Boss joining us. Find out more at historicpointboss.com. And Katie Medina being in with us just now, Wisconsin Rapids School Board candidate. Really appreciate her joining us and all of our candidates that are going to be joining us. We've got more coming up tomorrow at 9:05. Craig Manka, Wisconsin Rapids School Board, will be in with us. And at 9:50, Wisconsin Rapids mayoral candidate Matt Zacher. On Thursday, 9:35, Nakusa mayoral candidate Al Marco. And at 9:50 on Thursday, Wisconsin Rapids Alderperson District 8 candidate Maddie Palmquist will be with us. Looking forward to that. Midday Magazine going to be a really good one later today.
Lacey Ayling from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce is going to join us. We'll talk about some of the great events coming up in our area. And in part two, David Farnborough will be with us from Coldwell Banker Seer Realtors. Sort of a continuation of our Let's Talk Real Estate series. We'll be talking with David and looking forward to that. Looking forward to some great events in our area today and tomorrow. Tonight, be sure to check out Power of the Purse, 5 to 7:30 at Bullseye Golf Club right here in Wisconsin Rapids. It's a great signature event from Women's United. It's a wonderful opportunity. Has some fun, get into some raffles, some networking, cash bar, and you are raising funds for funds raised by Power of the Purse. We'll support early reading literacy programs in the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. Such a great program. Be sure to check that out and find out more at uwswac.org. Remember, auditions for Rumors are going on tonight at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. They kick off at 6:30. Meet you down there. Have a good time, everybody, and enjoy yourself. And, of course, tomorrow, Heroes Cafe will be open. Be sure to check out Heroes Cafe. It goes on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month, 7:30 to 9:30. This will be taking place over at Crossview Church. Head on over there and have a good time and wish everybody a good morning for us. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.